This week, the Supreme Court struck down three of President Obama's recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board, saying he had overreached by trying to fill the appointments while the Senate was on a brief break.
The ruling comes at a time of partisan gridlock on Capitol Hill, and it was hailed by Republicans who said that they saw the president's move as an abuse of executive power.
Well, what does the ruling mean for presidential powers moving forward? With us now is Josh Gerstein, senior White House reporter for Politico. Josh, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, good to be with you.
So this week, the Supreme Court checked the president's executive powers when it comes to recess appointments. What did they decide?
Well, the court ruled 9-0, actually, unanimously, that these appointments that President Obama issued, as you mentioned, to the National Labor Relations Board in January of 2012 were unconstitutional. The consensus on the court was that the Senate was basically not in a recess. The president used this power called recess appointment, and it's in the Constitution that when the Senate is in recess, the president can fill certain vacancies in the executive branch and also the judicial branch. But the Supreme Court said that the three-day recess that the Senate was in just wasn't long enough to count for the purposes of the Constitution. The Senate was basically in a vacation break that lasted a few weeks, but was doing something called pro forma sessions, where every few days, one, two, three, a few members of the Senate would come in and basically open the session and close it rather quickly, basically in a mechanism that's used to try to prevent just this thing, just these types of recess appointments. So it was a pretty big defeat for the White House. The court did divide 5-4 on some questions relating to recess appointments. So it wasn't as big of a loss for the White House or as big of a disappointment for those who are arguing in favor of a broader recess appointment power as it could be. But I still think as a practical matter, in the wake of this ruling, it's going to be fairly easy for the Senate to thwart the president from making basically any recess appointments in the future if the Senate's so inclined to do that.
Yeah, the White House was sort of billing this as a good news, bad news sort of scenario. You're saying it's maybe more bad news. Can you give us a sense of why the president was going that route to begin with?
Well, I mean, the reason the president felt that he would consider doing these recess appointments was because of gridlock in the Senate. Now, that brings up something that has changed here. There's been a pretty significant change in the political landscape since this dispute arose two and a half years ago, which is just last fall, the Democrats in the Senate exercised the so-called nuclear option, and that basically expressing frustration with Republicans for holding up both judicial and executive branch nominees. The Democrats changed the Senate rules to require only 50 votes to approve a nomination instead of what was effectively a 60-vote requirement or hurdle before that. That meant that Republicans were no longer needed under the current breakdown of the Senate to get the president's nominees through. So in a sense, this recess appointment case isn't as significant now as it was when it started. It could potentially be a little more significant in the future if the Republicans were to take control of the Senate or if you had a very, very closely divided Senate. But even if the Republicans take control, I'm not sure that this opinion would be that critical. In fact, its primary impact right now might be to provide some political support for Republicans who are complaining that the president sometimes goes too far in exercising his executive powers.
Now, the court was considering stricter rules on these recess appointments that would have made it, you know, even more difficult. Can you tell us a bit about what else was on the table under consideration?
Yeah, so these are pretty technical, but a lower court, the D.C. Circuit, had found that the president's recess appointments were unconstitutional for three separate reasons. One was because, as I mentioned, that it was only a three-day break and the Senate said it wasn't really in recess. But there were two other reasons. One, the court said that this power only applied to vacancies that occurred during a specific recess. So that would mean if a slot had been open for months or even years, the president couldn't fill it during a recess. He could only fill one that just occurred. You know, if someone died in office or abruptly resigned, the president could move to fill that slot. But any long-term vacancies, he couldn't. And that would obviously be a big problem from a presidential point of view. And so that was one concern. And then the other one was a question of maybe this power applies only during breaks between what's typically the two sessions of the Senate. That could be as much as a year apart. Again, if you took that view, it would really dramatically constrain the president's power. But as I say, I think just by saying that whenever the Senate goes out for 10 days or less, it's not really in recess, the Supreme Court has sort of handed the Senate a way to block future recess appointments. It should also be noted that it's not totally up to the Senate whether it goes into recess. Some people may wonder, well, if it's Democratic controlled, why don't they just go into recess and let the president make some of these nominations? But it turns out that the way the Senate does that as a legal matter and according to legislative rules, it actually needs the consent of the House. And so if the House is controlled by Republicans, they can actually contribute to blocking these kinds of recess appointments as well.
Now, some of the reasons that the court didn't go the stricter route, some of the three you just mentioned there, reasons given were the centuries of history and the traditional practice of presidents in the past that the court didn't want to upset, Justice Breyer in particular referring to that. Can you give us a sense of the history that Breyer was referring to?
Well, you know, Breyer is really, I call him sort of an institutionalist. You know, he thinks that the government's long-established traditions should generally be respected unless there's some significant reason to go another way. And he's very reluctant to say that something that's been going on for 200 years in a certain way is actually in violation of the Constitution, which is what the conservative judges on the justices on the Supreme Court concluded. Breyer, writing for the liberals, as well as Justice Kennedy, said that in this case, there was a history of appointments for decades, if not for centuries, where presidents had filled up various nominations, probably hundreds of them in both the judicial branch and the executive branch during recesses. And most of the time, presidents didn't think that it had to be between a session or that the break had to be officially declared as a recess or anything along those lines. So he felt that allowing presidents to retain that power was in keeping with the traditions. But you need to keep in mind that when the Constitution was written, the recesses, people were probably thinking that Congress would be out of session more often than in session, and that there might be months between congressional sessions, because you're talking about people coming by horseback to the Capitol, and it was just a totally different situation from the modern era when, you know, Congress can be called back into session probably on a day's notice if that's necessary.
And there's been this tug of war going on recently between Congress and the president over the use of executive powers. How does this tip the scales?
Well, this does provide one more talking point, one more arrow in the quiver, if you will, for the GOP argument that the president is going too far in wielding his executive power. You know, just a few days ago, we had House Speaker John Boehner come out and say that he planned to file a lawsuit against the president for him overstepping his bounds in various issues, including immigration, including Obamacare, both areas where the president has claimed some unusual, if not unprecedented, authority to ignore aspects of the law or to not enforce certain aspects of the law. That has angered many Republicans. They've been complaining about it for months, and we've seen similar complaints in other spheres. For example, the deal between the Taliban and the Obama administration to turn over five Taliban prisoners in exchange for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl out of Afghanistan. Congress wasn't notified there as required by law. The president said, given the urgency of the matter, he didn't really have to notify Congress or he wasn't going to. And even the NSA issue, I think, has put some legislators in both parties on edge about what they see as sort of uncontrolled, unbridled executive power. It's an interesting complaint for people to be leveling at President Obama, of course, because, you know, he came to office in 2007 and 2008, in many respects, very critical of then-President George W. Bush's use of executive power on a variety of fronts. And now we see President Obama using many of those same powers as he finds himself sort of frustrated with Congress on some of the issues he's concerned about.
And as you mentioned before, the recess appointments have been used by the White House as a way to cut through some of the gridlock. What does this mean for both the Obama White House and future presidents about how to work within that framework that seems so prevalent these days, gridlock?
Well, you know, it means that the president is not going to have as much leverage as he used to in these situations, although we should again take note that if the Senate keeps its 50-vote rule instead of its 60-vote rule, The president still has a pretty wide amount of latitude to try to get those 50 votes. It's probably, again, going to come into play most often when the Senate has fallen into opposition hands, the opposite of the party that's in the White House, and when there are enough senators there that will resist almost anybody the president nominates. That's the kind of resistance we've been seeing, maybe not on every executive branch nomination, but on a lot of judicial nominations we've seen Republicans take sort of a party line approach. And so I think, you know, the president may in some cases have to, in the future, this president or another president might have to nominate some people that are less controversial, that are more moderate, more middle of the road than he or she might be inclined to nominate otherwise, just in order to try to get those people through the Senate. And they won't have this sort of relief valve, if you will, of being able to stick somebody in through a recess appointment, because I think that's probably effectively that door is going to be closed.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking to Josh Gerstein, senior White House correspondent for Politico.